We have to study the four Gospels in the New Testament. The first three Gospels called as Synoptic Gospel. And the fourth Gospel is the Book of John. So my assignment is during the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, you have to go through these four books. At least you have to read very fast, at least one time, so that you can have a fresh impression about the life of Jesus and his teachings. So when we are talking about his life and his teachings, we know what we are talking here. And Jesus and his teaching, this can be a very profound lesson. Because according to the Colossians chapter 2, the mystery of God is Jesus. The mystery of God is Jesus. God is a mystery. No matter how you try to understand him, no matter how much you try to pursue after him, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we are just like a children. We cannot totally understand God because God is infinite. So we as a human being, we cannot totally understand him. And Jesus Christ is a manifestation of God himself. So maybe we can very superficially understand who is Jesus. But the more you study the Bible, the more you do the research about him and his teaching, the more you come to a conclusion, we cannot totally understand him until one day we transform ourselves to have a spiritual body and we can see him face by face in the heavenly kingdom. And that day, we are going to know him completely. However, even though we cannot understand him completely, it is still necessary we have to understand him more and his teaching. Before we go to the teaching material, I would like to ask you a question. There are two very prominent figures in the Bible. One is Solomon. The second is Paul. When you compare your life, do you see any difference between the life of Solomon and the life of Paul? Is there any difference? Be responsive so that you can learn more. When you compare these two persons, Solomon and Paul, what's the difference when you compare your life? You can give a very concise answer, very brief answer. Okay. Just sit down. No need to do it. Thank you. Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. The conclusion of your life is different. So from your conclusion, you can understand one person's life is meaningful, the other person's life is meaningless. What is the conclusion of Solomon's life? very famous sentence. Vanity, right? What is vanity? Vanity means what? Meaningless, right? Zero, empty. And what is the conclusion of Paul? Prior to his death, what is the conclusion of his life? I'm waiting to receive the crown of the righteousness. So you see, the conclusion of life is so much different. And what makes your life different? What makes your life different? If we study the whole life of Solomon, you will find out that he lived a self-centered life. Actually, he lived a life without God. He tried to detach his own life from God. He wanted to become the king of himself, to control his own destiny, to manage his own life, to arrange his own life. Self-centered is a typical self-centered lifestyle. But if you look into the life of Paul, after he converted to Christ, he is so attached to Jesus Christ. He said, I want to live for Jesus Christ. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And Christ lives inside me. So he totally manifests the image of Jesus Christ. So no wonder the time he was going to die, he said, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. So if we compare these two persons, then you understand that actually Jesus can make our life meaningful. A life without Jesus, without Jesus Christ, is a life of vanity. It's a life of meaningless. So in the Old Testament time, if you only read the Old Testament, read about the book of Ecclesiastes, sometimes you have an impression that it gives you a very negative and very gray color, that kind of feeling. So a young person try to pursue their worldly idea aggressively, and after they read the book of Ecclesiastes, everything is vanity, no use, right? But after we understand Jesus Christ, that you understand how can we transcend this kind of futility in our life? The only answer is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can help you to transcend the futility, the futile life experienced by Solomon. So we, as a young person, we have a lot of dreams, American dreams. We have a lot of ideas. We devote our time, our energy, our everything we have, try to pursue our dream. But one thing is very critical, important, is your life, is your pursuit, is God-centered. Is Jesus Christ center. So before we come to the study of Jesus and his teaching, we have to understand how important Jesus is related to our life. He makes our life meaningful. Without Jesus, our life will become meaningless. Old Testament, in the Old Testament, there are a lot of prophecy to prophesy the coming of the Savior, Messiah. And the New Testament is a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament. Let me ask you a question. Who is the central figure of human history? Who is the central figure of human history? Abraham Lincoln, Jefferson, Washington, who is the central figure of human history? Jesus Christ is the central figure of human history. Who is the central figure of the Bible? Who is Jesus Christ? As what we mentioned, Old Testament prophesied his coming. The New Testament is fulfillment of the prophecy. So that all the central figure is Jesus Christ. Now, so Jesus Christ actually is a very important figure in the universe, in human history, in our life, and in the greatest book, the Bible. So there are a lot of persons we want to know. Right. You know this, you want to know this and that, but you cannot afford not knowing Jesus Christ. He is so important. So we have to understand him. Okay. Now, let's refer to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The book of Isaiah was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. And he also was inspired by God and prophesied there will be a child born to us. And this child's birth is related to everybody. And he is going to carry four different kind of title, and each title contain great responsibility. A Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So 700 years later, the person was born in the manger. And this person was Jesus Christ. How can we understand Jesus Christ? Of course, we have to look into the life he lived. And also, we have to study the words he speak. Sometimes we know, somebody asks you, do you know who and who? And you say, of course, I know. But if this person asks you a deeper question, do you know this person's thinking? Do you know this person's idea of life? Do you know this person's value system? And all of a sudden, you cannot answer. So when we say, I know somebody, always we only say, we only mention about, we know this person's name, and we know this person, where does he live, what does he work. But inside the person, what kind this person is, usually we don't know. The same thing with Jesus Christ. When we say, I know Jesus Christ, yes, he is my Savior. We only very shallow, very superficially understand Jesus Christ. But if we ask a more deeper question, the character of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, the planning of Jesus, and the words spoken by Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden we find out we don't know him at all. So we should not be satisfied. I have been a Christian for so many years. I have read the Bibles for so many times. To know Jesus Christ is a lifelong process until the time you met him in heaven, in the kingdom of God. And in the four Gospels, we can see the description of the life of Jesus Christ and the saying of Jesus Christ. And also from the book, Pauline letter, you can understand how Paul described the Jesus himself. Because in Galatians chapter 1, Paul mentioned that God revealed His Son into him. Paul understanding of Jesus Christ was not taught by anybody, was revealed directly by God. So from the Pauline letter, you can understand what's Paul's understanding about Jesus Christ. Yeah. And also from the book of Hebrew, it's talking about superiority of Jesus Christ. You can understand Jesus Christ even more from the spiritual sense. So when we talk about Jesus Christ, inevitably we will mention about the Pauline letter, the book of Hebrew. Of course, we will mention about the book of John, because John is a book who try to describe the divine character of Jesus. John is a very unique book. It's different from the other three books, because John talk more about the Godhead of Jesus Christ. So it's a more profound book, but it's all related. Now we please see the teaching material on page 1. Before we go to page 1, let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. So they say, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? The disciples of Jesus followed Jesus for almost 3 years already. Prior to Jesus' crucifixion, he tried to understand how much does his disciples understand him. So he say, who do you say that I am? A lot of people give a wrong answer, even though physically they follow Jesus day by day. They watch at Jesus day by day. They listen Jesus' sermon day by day. But when they come to the question, who do you say that I am? They was unable to give a correct answer. Why they were unable to give the correct answer? Verse 17. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. The flesh and the blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father who is in heaven. The flesh and the blood, referring to human beings. To understand Jesus Christ is not because anybody teach you, so you understand him. Now, the crucial point of understand Jesus Christ is because Jesus Christ revealed himself to you so that you can understand him. So Jesus Christ is in control whether you can understand him or not. If Jesus Christ want you to understand him, then you can understand him. But if Jesus Christ don't want you to understand him, then you cannot understand him. And whom did Jesus Christ like to let them understand him? Jesus mentioned, for those who are smart and 聪明通达的, consider themselves a very smart, very, very capable, and Jesus Christ will hide himself. They cannot understand him. For those who like an infant, a very humble heart, and Jesus Christ will reveal himself to them. So you see a lot of people receive very high education, even they got a PhD degree. They try to use their own method. They try to use their own ration, try to understand Jesus Christ. They pull down Jesus Christ from the throne in heaven and into just like a laboratory and try to analyze who is Jesus Christ. just like analyze a phenomenon in the scientific field. So eventually they come to a conclusion, there is no God. How come they come to the conclusion there is no God? And Jesus is not God. And Jesus is laughing in heaven. Why? Because their mentality is wrong. They thought, it's in my control. But it is not. It is in control of God. So the same token, when we try to understand him more, we need to have a very humble spirit and pray to him, God, please open my heart so that I can understand you more. I can understand your teaching more. The more you understand God and Jesus Christ, the more you will be attracted by him. The more you will be influenced by him. The more you will be transformed by him. So not because we take 14 hours of the lesson, Jesus and his teaching, then you can understand him a lot. All depends on the heart. With a humble spirit and ask God to reveal himself to you, and from the teaching of the Bible, then you can know deeper and deeper. I recall about 20 years ago when I was in Taiwan, I was shocked by a news. There was a youth in our church studied in a university, and later on he converted to Buddhism. Have you ever heard about this? Our youth converted to Buddhism. No. And then some of the ministers went to visit him, tried to do something to reverse his faith. And he gave a comment. He said, after I believe in Jesus, I feel that it's nothing inside. Buddhism is more profound. Can you imagine a youth come to this kind of conclusion? We can say that he did not know Jesus Christ at all. If he really know Jesus Christ, he will never have this kind of conclusion. The same thing today. Every time we have a spiritual convocation or evangelical service, you always will get excited. So many people were baptized. We are so joyful. But if you look carefully, after a few years, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, some of them already disappear. I remember from when I was 13 years old, I attended the first youth spiritual convocation. Later on, I attended the youth spiritual convocation every year. And every year, they take a group picture. One day, out of curiosity, I take out all the pictures and make a comparison. Those who attend the first year use spiritual convocation, the second year about one third disappear, or new faces. Those who attend the second year, also about a quarter disappear from the third year. So a lot of youth, they appear in the first time and second time, after fifth time, sixth time. They all disappear from the church. What happened? When they come to the youth spiritual convocation, they pray, they receive Holy Spirit, how come they disappear from the church? Maybe you can give a very different kind of reason, because they are busy, because this or because that. But eventually, a person disappears from the church, all because they fail to understand Jesus Christ. They fail to be rooted in Jesus Christ himself. So their faith is a little bit shaky. So that is the reason we have to understand Jesus Christ. A, he is the center of the belief. There will be a foundation in our belief if we know Jesus Christ. So in the church, you know this person, you know that person is good. You know this pastor, you know that pastor is good. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, that's bad. Some youth will boast, who baptized me. That's good. But do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't know, that's too bad. Because we are all human beings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 or chapter 3, you can see the one incident happened in the apostolic church. Some people say, I belong to Paul. because Paul was very well educated, God revealed the mystery to him, so he preached. He can preach a very profound teaching. And Paul also loved the poor, so a lot of people was attracted by Paul. I belong to Paul. Some people say, I belong to Peter. Peter was an apostle of the Jews. And some Peter say, I belong to Apollo. Apollo was very eloquent. When he preached, nobody sleep. Everybody like Apollo, right? And some people say, no, I belong to Jesus Christ. So in the church in Corinth, their faith are not really rooted. They know a lot of different kind of person in the church, the gifted worker, but they did not really know Jesus Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and Paul tell them, the spiritual rock is Jesus Christ. Shall we turn 1 Corinthians chapter 10? First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3. All ate the same spiritual food. Verse 4. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock and followed them. And that rock was Christ. The spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. Our faith is just like a house. Your house should build upon the rock, not upon the sand. Only that kind of foundation can withstand different kind of trial and the temptation. So John chapter 6, verse 66 to 68 is talking about a lot of people follow Jesus Christ because they encounter, they experience the miracle. Jesus multiplied the bread and feed the 5,000 people. After they experience this kind of benefit of following Jesus, no matter where Jesus went, they went there. Even they went there before Jesus arrived. But later on, Jesus told them, you have to eat my flesh. You have to drink my blood. For 5,000 who ate the bread multiplied by Jesus, when Jesus said, you have to eat my flesh, you have to drink my blood, one by one left. Eventually, only the 12 disciples remained there. And then Jesus asked them, how come everybody left and you don't leave? And Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we follow? The same thing. Today, why do you follow Jesus? Why do you believe in Jesus? Are you believing in Jesus for only a physical blessing? A very temporary, worldly blessing? If we follow Jesus only because of this, then we are no different from the 5,000 people who ate the bread multiplied by Jesus Christ. One day, when the tribulation comes, we all will fall apart. 1949, China was fall into the hand of communists. A lot of Christians under persecution. Then, at that time, a lot of Christians betrayed Jesus Christ. But also, a lot of Christians remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Why they want to be faithful to Jesus Christ? Because they know whom they believe. Why other people try to betray Jesus Christ? Because they did not really know whom they believe. So there will be a difference to know the grace of God and to know God himself. There's a difference to know the grace of Jesus and to know Jesus Christ himself. Maybe you know a lot of grace of Jesus Christ, but do you really know Jesus himself? The grace of Jesus Christ maybe one day disappear due to the trial and temptation, but Jesus Christ himself will never disappear. So only when you can You can transcend your faith beyond the grace of Jesus into Jesus Christ himself, that your faith can be considered a very solid and very rooted faith. But it takes time and it takes some effort. We have to contribute some effort. Not only know Jesus' grace, but also know himself. You are attracted by Jesus' grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. But are you attracted by Jesus himself? Are you? For those who are attracted by the grace of Jesus Christ, you can see when they are in difficulty, they pray hard because I need the grace of Jesus Christ. One day that difficulty resolved, then no need to pray anymore. Why? Because I have everything. But if you are attracted by Jesus Christ himself, even if you live a very smooth circumstance, you still pray very hard because you want Jesus Christ himself, not only his grace. So there's a difference. So a lot of church members, in their ordinary life, they don't pray at all. Or they only pray a few minutes. I saw one of the youth class, the classroom in the board, they make a New Year resolution. What is a New Year resolution? In the year of 1997, we are going to pray 5 minutes a day. There's a New Year resolution. In youth class, the whiteboard, they make a resolution, we are going to pray 5 minutes a day. That's a great resolution. I was wondering, how come 5 minutes a day is a great resolution? So if you are really attracted by Jesus Christ himself, 5 minutes is not enough. One day you get married, if you are really in love with your spouse, you will find out to spend time together is a wonderful thing. Even before you get married, right? If you like somebody in your heart, if you look at the shadow at the back, it's already satisfactory. Right? Yeah. Then if you can spend time to talk with each other, that will be much more satisfied. The same with Jesus Christ. If you really know Jesus himself, if you really build up a personal relationship with him, I bet you to spend time with him is a joy. It's a joyful thing. So I hope in these few days you spend time here, especially the time of prayer, is not the time for you to train up your endurance or it's painful. That means sustain this kind of pain to prove I'm a person who has strong will. That's not good enough. You have to go into the deeper place to meet Jesus Christ in the Holy of Holiness. And until the point that you feel that Jesus has come into my heart, I'm connected with him, I really enjoy it. After prayer, you feel your heart is filled with that kind of light, that kind of joy, that kind of peace. Jesus Christ is very important. We have to know him so we can sustain trial. The second point, we need God's revelation to know Jesus Christ. We already mentioned about that. So sometimes the true seeker come to the church, we have to correct their mentality because they can experience anything. Some people, they have a very high status in society. They come to the church with their high status. They anticipate somebody will greet them, somebody will treat them well. In their heart, they never try to be humble. After they search for truth for many years, they still feel there is no God. And some people, they come with a very humble heart. They put their social status outside, put their worldly success outside, use a very humility heart, come to the church in the first time they receive Holy Spirit. That is the difference. So in order to know him more, let us have a humble heart and ask him to reveal himself to you. 3, after knowing Jesus, we will be our utmost treasure. One day I heard a member commented that recently he was very down. How come he was very down? Because his company, the stock, especially in the month of March or April, right? The stock plunged 30%, 40%, or even 50%. So they look into the TV screen. Their treasure in the paper already become 50% off. They feel very sad. So this is called worldly treasure. The most important treasure is Jesus Christ himself. Once you have him, that value will never go south. Never. That value only will go up. So he is the most treasured one, most precious one in the world. Let me ask you a question so that you will not be sleepy. How come Jesus is the most precious one to you? How come? Thank you. Yeah. Nowadays, a lot of people consider money is the most important thing, right? Money. So many people, you try to study in a very hard major, double E computer science, right? Because once you graduate, the money is very high, annual salary is very high. And once you have money, you can buy a lot of things. Surely, money is important, but do you know a lot of important things cannot purchase by money? So I think you always heard the sermon in the evangelical service. Money can buy the best mattress. Money cannot buy a good sleep, right? Money can buy the best medicine, but money cannot buy the health, right? Money can buy a very good house in the best area with a very good view. But money cannot buy a happy family, right? A lot. Money can buy the ticket to travel the world, but money cannot buy a ticket to heaven. Right? Money can buy flattery from others, but money can never buy respect from others. Money can buy a lot of books. So you see some people are very rich, all encyclopedia surrounding the room. But the brain is like empty brain. Money cannot buy knowledge, wisdom. So a lot of important things. Money can buy a lot of insurance after you die, 2 million. But money will never buy your life. Money can buy protection after your car get collided. We pay you how much money, but money can never buy peace. So a lot of important things which will ensure your happy life can never buy by money. But all these kind of things is going to be guaranteed to you by Jesus Christ. So how come Jesus is the most treasured one in the world? Because he can give you a lot of things which you can never exchange by money. And he is going to give you free. Free. No charge. So that is called treasure. If he want to ask you to pay some price, I think nobody can have the price to pay. So he will be our utmost treasure. Point four. Many people follow him but did not know him. So we have to strive forward to know Jesus more. That is the reason we have to study Jesus and his teaching. Okay. B. Jesus Christ, he is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm going to spend another section talking about the title of Christology from the four Gospels. According to the book of Matthew and also the 1 John chapter 1, Jesus Christ has many different kind of titles. Now let me ask you, how many titles do you have right now? You are the child of your parents. This is the first title, right? You are the student of your school. This is the second title, right? You are the brother of your or sister of your sibling. This is the third title, right? Are you the spouse? Not yet, right? Any other title? You are the members of TJC. Right? You are the citizens of United States. Right? Maybe, right? Or Canadian. or Canada, right? That's the title you have. How many other titles do you have? How many other titles do you have? Do you know? Every kind of title, there is a privilege, and also there is a what? Obligation, responsibility. So we are going to study, spend about 1 hour talking about the title of Jesus Christ. And the most obvious title is, He is a Christ. Let me ask another question. What is the meaning of Christ? The Berkeley freshman, what is the title, what is the meaning of Christ? Huh? Savior? Any other answer? Christ is the anointed one, anointed one called Christ. And Christ is translated from Greek. In the book of Hebrew, it's called what? Messiah. Messiah and Christ and anointed one. Actually, it's all the same thing. If you look, read the Bible carefully, if you read the Bible carefully, beside the four Gospels, after the four Gospels, the book of Acts and the Paul letter and onwards, when they call Jesus, very seldomly they directly call Jesus. Usually, how did they call Jesus? Beside the name of Jesus, usually, how do they call Jesus? Christ Jesus? Or Jesus Christ? Or the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Or baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Very seldom, in the polite letter, you can find he called Jesus, Jesus. So nowadays we tend to only Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. Of course, it's okay. But if you can add a title of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, even far better. Because that is the way to show our respect. He is our Lord. He is in control of us. The Lord Jesus Christ. Especially in TJC, from the beginning of 1917 until most recently. Our traditional way is called Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. To show our humility, to show our honor to Him. Right now I'm coming back to study what we just read in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6 and 7, His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, and Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So from the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see Jesus try to fulfill the responsibility of these four different titles. He tried to fulfill to be a mighty God. He tried to fulfill being a everlasting Father. He tried to fulfill being a Prince of Peace. He tried to fulfill a Wonderful Counselor. Okay. Let us start from the first one. We can discuss the title after that. Wonderful Counselor. Does anyone of you have ever heard about counseling, psychology and counseling? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah. Do you think counseling is very helpful to solve human problems? Do you think counseling, psychology is very helpful to solve human problems? temporary, huh? I heard the pastor Cole mention about his wife's relative. They live in Germany. His wife's brother. One time, his wife's brother had a very bad relationship with the parents. Do you know why? Why? Because they have some, he has some kind of psychological problem. Psychological problem. And they went to see the psychiatrist. And then the psychiatrist, in order to give him some answer to solve his problem, the psychiatrist tried to dig out the reason why you would do this and do that. That's called what? Psychoanalysis, is that right? So eventually they will dig out, today you hit somebody, because what? When you are young, your father chastised you. Today you cannot get along with each other. When you are young, because of what? Because your father and your mother fight, and you see it. So that kind of hatred buried inside your heart. So you don't have to be responsible to your own behavior. All because of what? Coming from your family. So that's called, nowadays a lot of people try to do it this way. When somebody kills somebody, and then they try to analyze what is the reason. Eventually the reason is society. Society should be responsible. Society be responsible means everybody responsible, means nobody responsible. So psychology has its own value, but it's very limited. Because our human nature actually is corrupted. Our human nature is corrupted. How can you change the human nature? If you can change the human nature, you can change, you can give your problem a good answer. If you cannot change the human nature, how can you solve the problem? Because a lot of problems actually derive from, rooted from the evil nature, the sinful nature of human nature. So Jesus Christ proclaimed he is a wonderful counselor, the greatest counselor in the world, the wonderful counselor. There is a reason.